Well, we would appreciate your prayers this morning. We want the Lord to give us some food for our souls today. I wrote on the board, if any man will come after me. And so this morning I'm thinking about some of the verses that Jesus spoke to us. And the word if is in the middle of that. In Matthew 16 and 24, Jesus said something here. He said, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You know, the word if automatically makes us think conditional, doesn't it? There's something that is going to happen if. And so he says here, if any man will come after me. You know, I believe probably all of us here would say we'd like to go after the Lord. We'd like to follow after him. But there's conditions with that. And he said, if you will, he said, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And so this morning, I just want to think about today a little bit. You know, the Lord wants us to come after him. And I think there's a deep down desire in almost every heart that knows anything about the Lord that would like to make that decision and would like to follow the Lord. But you know, if we're going to, then we need to have a mindset about us and a heart settled that there are some things that we're going to do if we're going to follow the Lord. Because I would hate to follow at a distance and not get all the way to heaven. I would hate to pay, if you want to say, I know we don't pay a price, but we do. We pay it all, don't we? We give everything. If we don't, Jesus said we can't follow him. So it's free. We can't buy it. We can't work for it. But on the other hand, it costs everything we have. Because we have to leave everything behind and follow the Lord if we're going to follow him. So he says, if any man will come after me, then there's some things we want to talk about this morning. But first I think about what it means to come after the Lord. What does it mean to follow after the Lord? You know, to Paul, he was telling some things that he left behind. All of his own standing, his own birthright, his righteousness, all of the things that he had in himself. He was telling, and this is in Philippians 3 and 10, but previous to that, he was speaking of his old life, the things he left behind. But he said what he wanted to find in following the Lord was that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings and being made conformable unto his death. Do you know this morning that that's the if that Paul settled? He wanted to know the Lord. And he wanted to follow and go after the Lord and know him. And so there's some baggage he had to leave behind in order to know the Lord. You know, this morning, it's one thing to know about someone, isn't it? We've heard of a lot of people. All of us have, haven't we? But there's a lot of those folks we've never met, and we don't know. But I say this morning with Paul, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Do you know when Christ was resurrected, he defied every power there was. The very greatest power there is to humans is death against us. And he came right out of the grave, didn't he? And he lived. The power of Christ's resurrection. And do you know, it wasn't just physical. You know that he defied every power of Satan Everything that the powers, the dark powers that persecuted him, that killed him, that hung him, all of the things they said about him and wagged their head and all those things, do you know he defied all of that when he came out of there? And you know what he did? He gave to us the power to know the Lord. He gave to us the power to reign over the things of this life. That's what the Lord did for us today. And Paul, he said he was putting behind him all the baggage of the flesh, all the things that he had in his mind and all those things. I'm putting all that back that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. This morning, I just want to look a little bit about what it means to follow the Lord. Do you know that if we're going to follow the Lord, the scriptures tell us that everyone that follows Christ is going to suffer persecution? Did you know that? It says all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Do you know this morning, we've got to expect that there's going to be in life some sufferings. And some of them are going to be persecution. We must expect that. But I want to tell you something. There's something on the inside that they can never touch. And the Lord wants us to have that. And He wants us to know the power of His resurrection that overcomes, that doesn't succumb to the things, the beggarly elements of this life. And so he says, and the fellowship of his sufferings. Lord, help us to have a mind that we are going to fellowship Christ in his sufferings. Do you know that means sometimes? I believe that that Satan sometimes will attack our bodies. He'll attack whatever he can about us. Satan will try to do that. But I want to tell you something. Don't we thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord that gives us the victory? That's what Christ came to give us this morning. He came to give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we look a little bit about what it means to come after the Lord, folks, we're going to have to get within our own mind and our own heart that fellowship of His sufferings. It's a part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He goes on to say in verse 11, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, meaning I'm not there yet. I haven't made it to heaven yet. I haven't made it to that place where I give my life. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Behold, brethren, verse 13 of Philippians 3, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Do you see what is before us today? Do you see the hope that Christ has set before us? Do you see the hope of heaven? Do you see the very thing that we'll miss, the eternal consequences of not living for God? Do we see that today? He says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Do you know this morning, the Lord wants us to have a lively hope within our souls. And He wants us to press for that mark. He wants us to press to make it in at the last. He wants us to know Him. And I want to encourage us this morning, let's don't follow the Lord at such a distance that we only know of Him. Okay? We can know a lot of teachings. We can know a lot of things and not know the Lord. Oh, this morning, if any man will come after me, do you know what he wants us to do? He wants us to apprehend him, just like Christ wants to apprehend us. He wants us to come to a place where we begin to know the Lord. We begin to know His voice. We begin to know what it means for the Lord to speak to us. Is that too much? I think it should be a part of every Christian's life Folks, we want to know the voice of the Lord. And so Paul said that I may know him. I'm leaving all that stuff behind. I'm leaving everything that's in my mind behind that I might know him and that I might experience the power of his resurrection today. You know, Jesus, in John the 4th chapter, we're going to come back here where we left in Matthew a while ago. In John the 4th chapter, Jesus said concerning his sheep, I'm sorry, the 10th chapter and the 4th verse. He says, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Do you know that when we follow the Lord, he wants us to follow him close enough that we hear his voice and begin to know it? Ah, that's the Lord. You know, one time the disciples were in the boat and there was someone on the shore or on the water, however it was. And you know what? Peter finally said, it's the Lord. His eyes were, oh, it's the Lord. Do you know this morning? That's what we want to know, isn't it? Because Jesus said this. He went on to say, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. In case we don't realize this morning, there are a lot of voices in the world, isn't there? There is a lot of calls. There is a lot of philosophies and a lot of beliefs. But I will tell you what will fix a lot of that. We want to know the Lord. Get to know his voice. And what Jesus said was, my sheep, he said, they know me. They hear my voice and they're not going to follow a stranger. They're not going to be led astray because they know my voice. So this morning I want to encourage us to not follow at a distance, but to follow up close and to get to know the voice of the world. Leave the world behind. Leave its desires and attainments and fully submit ourselves to the will of God. Because when we do those things, it's our protection. That's the way the Lord protects us. We get to know his voice. And a stranger, they won't follow. In other words, they won't be deceived. So the Lord help us today. We want the power of the resurrection, the power of what Christ came to purchase with his own blood. We want those things, don't we? I want us to think a little bit more about, I know it's a subject we don't like to think about, but folks, we live in a world today that doesn't believe or know anything about the sufferings of Christ. Do you know that Jesus very clearly all through the teachings, all through the Bible, especially the New Testament, you will find there are sufferings to endure if you want to make heaven your home. Well, I don't want to suffer. Well, if you want to make heaven your home, there's going to be a few. And if you don't want to make heaven your home, there's going to be a bunch too. I'll just say that. I've watched long enough to know that there's two ends to this. And so Jesus said in Luke 17 and 25, he said, but first, listen to what he told his disciples. He said, but first he must suffer many things. He was speaking of himself and telling his disciples that he must suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. Do you know that was odd to some? In Mark, he spake of that same wording, that same type of wording. And you know what? Peter took him. Now, Peter was a pretty prominent disciple. And he took him and began to rebuke him. He began to rebuke the Lord. That's what Peter did. You know why? because this didn't make a lick of sense to him. No. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." And then he said the same things that we read over there, the first verse we read in Matthew, and we're going to turn back to and finish here in a bit. And so this morning, if we only look at suffering as suffering, then we will shrink. But I want to tell you, suffering is a valuable tool in the hands of God. For Jesus, it brought our salvation. It did. For us, many times, it brings us to the low place where God can talk to us. Did you know that? There's a lot of times. I found one thing. When my children got sick, there isn't any way for me to get that close to the Lord any other way. I know that sounds a little funny, but I want to tell you something. You talk about get on your knees. You talk about humble yourself. It happens, doesn't it? There's something about suffering that the Lord sees that we need many times. It straightens our life out a lot of time. It redirects us. It gives us new bearings. And we avoid it. And we're just like Peter. And we say, "No, Lord, that's not going to happen to you. No way. That suffering? No way. That can't happen." Well, folks, I want to tell you this morning, if we're going to live for God, there's going to be some of this in there. Is it all going to be suffering? No. The thing that I like to think about is, "Lord, help me to get the good out of this as fast as I can." And you know, sometimes it's maybe not for us. The Lord has a lot of reasons, and I don't know why all those reasons are. I'll tell you why suffering happens to begin with. Why it came into the world was because of sin. And do you know that when I see suffering, you know what I think of? Because another minister told me this one time. You know what I start thinking about? That's the penalty of sin. That's how much God hates sin. Let's make sure we recognize that. God's displeasure was that He let things come into the world. Death. Why does man have to die? What a terrible thing. Can't we just live forever and not have to go through that process? I want to tell you this morning, sin brought those things into the world. Let's remember how much God hates sin. Every time we suffer, let's remember it. And every time we suffer, let's suffer patiently. I believe the Lord has a lot of things to teach us in the Scriptures, in our lives, that it'll be such a blessing to us. But folks, it's a hard thing for us to comprehend sometimes. Peter just didn't get it. You know, Peter says over here in 1 Peter 4 and 12, "Beloved, think it not strange." Don't think it strange. "Concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. As though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings." You know what I have found in reading and studying and different things? Those early Christians had a strange mindset compared to Americans today, because they longed for martyrdom. Many of them did. It was a known thing. That was the crown of a Christian's life, martyrdom. Now, you do your study, you'll find out that that's what many of them believe. Now, is that fun? Is that good? No, that's no fun. No, that's not. That's that the devil does those things. But I want to tell you something. Those who left the world behind and all their hopes was over there. Now we're talking about, "If any man will come after me, Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You see, there's more to that verse than just, if you come after me, deny yourself, he said, because that's what you have to do if you're going to follow Christ. And follow me. And I want to tell you what you'll find. You'll find the God of heaven and the God of glory meeting you in your life time after time again. Beloved, don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, whatever comes to us because we're a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. And you know, the scriptures tell us that the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon us. And so I know these are words. It would be easy to say, well, that sounds like a pretty good. I want to tell you something. I've suffered too, and suffering is no fun. But I want to tell you what else I've found. I've found the deepest riches of God many times through the sufferings that I've been through. And so we have suffered some at times. And I've also seen the great hand of God's deliverance a lot of times. And I thank the Lord for that. You want faith? Walk with God. Hear his voice. When he leads you into the valley of suffering, suffer patiently. Suffer with the Lord. Have a mind. Lord, help me to be able to be patient in the midst of it. Because it's all part of God's work this morning. Some people have suffered death for the Lord. We hope we don't have to do that, don't we? But I will tell you, if God allows it, God help us to have the great grace of God that he has to give. God help us to know him and to know his voice and to know his to follow him and to not follow another and to not follow our flesh. That's what the Lord, I believe. Now let's go back where we started in Matthew the 16th chapter, where we see we started with this verse. We wrote part of it on the board. Where we started was, then said Jesus, 16 to 24 of Matthew, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Excuse me. Do you know this morning that when Jesus spoke of this, he was speaking of eternal things. And those people that we follow, read Hebrews 11, those folks that we follow had one thing in mind, and that was to go to heaven. That was what they wanted. And it says some were sawn asunder, and all kinds of things, and some were delivered. And the Lord, we read of the great miracles God did. Somebody goes down, three men go down into a fiery furnace. And what happens to them? The Lord sends his son to go down there with them. Even Nebuchadnezzar was like, there's the fourth one looks like the Son of God, I believe he said. And you know, he saw that. God does those things, doesn't he? And they inspire us and they make us to know that God can and will help his people. But do you know others, it says, what was it, Isaiah was sawed in half, I believe, or something. And others lost their head, John the Baptist. And many things happened. But folks, let's remember something. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake, and one of the other gospels says, and the gospel, for my sake and the gospel, shall find it. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. You know, the Lord's wanting us to be ready for that day. I know we don't suffer like other nations have suffered. We don't suffer like they suffered in the early Christian times here in America. Not up to now we haven't. We may see it, but we haven't seen it yet. But I'll tell you what. We have a hard time just leaving the things of this world and choosing God over them, don't we? And still I hear Jesus' words saying, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and let him take up his cross and follow me. Do you know that it takes courage and it takes strength to see the will of God? Now, I'm not talking about not understanding what to do. I'm talking about as the Lord leads us. Folks, it takes courage and strength to see the will of God and to deny ourselves and what we would do and our hopes and our dreams. And some young man, some young woman has great aspirations in life. And the Lord puts the call on them. I want you to take my word to some foreign land. Or I want you to do, I have a work for you to do. How much higher calling is that, folks? And yet, can we give up the little beggarly, meager dollars of this life to do the will of God? Can we follow the Lord? Can we deny ourselves in America today? Or shall we only feed our flesh, set up for ourselves, and make sure that we don't suffer in any way? That's America today, is it not? It's the land we live in. It's the culture we live in. But it's counter the biblical culture. That's not the biblical culture. That is, deny yourself. Now, does that mean we can't have any of those things? No. Lots of times I've seen the Lord give more than, maybe more than we would have had before. But do you know that the Lord does those things? But we have to deny ourselves for the will of God. And then it's Him that does it. You know, when the Lord blesses people and when the Lord blesses our lives, that's a real great thing, isn't it? But it's the Lord that does it. And it'll be a blessing to us eternally because it's God working in our life. So I just want to encourage us this morning that we follow the Lord and deny our fleshly appetites, the things we would do, the enjoyments we might have in the flesh. And like I say, it doesn't mean we can't have any of those things. It just means we submit them to God. That's what it means. And do you think the Lord is going to have a people that drags their head around? No, the Lord doesn't. That's not the way it works. The Lord wants our life to be full. He wants it to have purpose and meaning. But it's not going to be as full in the flesh. We're not going to be full of the flesh. We're going to be full of the will of God. The dreams we may have in our own self, and take up our cross and follow the Lord if we want to go to heaven. If we gain the whole world and lose our soul, what do we gain? In Luke 14 and 26, Jesus said, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, when you look that up in the Greek, it means to love less. It doesn't mean you hate your father. But you love them less. You love your own life also less than the will of God. And folks, when we do that, then we can know the Lord. The trade-off is tremendous. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? You know what he's saying there, don't you? Sit down and count the cost up. Am I going to heaven or not? If I'm going to heaven, am I willing to pay the price? For me, I want to tell you something. I decided a long time ago, I don't care what the cost is. Yes, Lord. That's all I have to say. Oh, the cost might seem great, but I want to tell you, the scriptures tell us in Isaiah 55, and we, most of us know these, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. You thirsty? Come to the waters where you can get the drink that really satisfies. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." That's what the Lord gives this morning. He wants our soul to delight itself in fatness in the Lord, not in the flesh. That's the difference. The Lord wants us to delight ourselves in fatness in the Lord. Oh, he goes on to say, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. If any man will come after me, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord." That's pretty staggering, isn't it? But he doesn't stop there. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth out of my mouth. As the rain cometh down, so shall my word be that goeth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it will shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." So I just want to encourage us this morning to go after the Lord. Come after him with all of our heart. He's promised all through the scriptures to give us in our soul a real blessing when we come after him. In Isaiah, 58, I believe, he said, "Your soul will be like a watered garden." Do you know that when we give to the Lord everything, he'll give back to us more than we thought he would? He'll give back to us a surprising portion this morning. If we're looking for it in the flesh, if we're looking that I have to have so much, I have to be up with somebody else, I have to have, and I have to be in perfect shape and all of these things, folks, the Lord never promised that. But what he did promise was that our soul could be like a watered garden. And he made many promises like that. And so the Lord help us today that we take up our cross and deny ourselves and follow him all the way. And again, I want to reiterate, we're not talking about casting aside every dream we have and every, you know, "Well, I can't do this and I can't do that." I want to tell you, we submit it to the Lord. That's what we do. We deny ourselves the privilege of going after those things in our own strength. And so these things don't make sense in the flesh. Peter thought it was crazy. "Lord, what are you talking about? You're not going to, in fact, I'll fight with you all the way to the end. I'll fight with you to the death." And they all said something like that. But the Lord had something so much deeper for them. And when they got a hold of it, and the Spirit of God filled their souls, they spent the rest of their life giving it all. And then almost all of them gave their life too. And they were happy to do it. We read Paul's writings. He knew what was coming. But we don't read any kind of... We read someone that was of someone that was very positive. Paul didn't have a downcast look. He had great hope because his hope was over there. And folks, if we're going to go to heaven, we need to settle it over there. And when we do that, the puzzle pieces come together. I want to go to heaven, and I want to go bad enough that I'm willing to deny myself of anything God wants me to deny myself of. And I'm willing to give my future to the Lord, to give my hopes to the Lord, to give my ideas to the Lord, and all the things that I have. And when we do that, it all comes together. And then we can know Him, and He'll lead us. And we don't have to be ashamed in that day. Y'all pray for me.